Final hour overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, Zeodog, Jeff O'Neill, Carlo Koliakovo with us, and PJ Carlissimo later in the hour. The Raptors are in action tonight. Kyle Lowry will not play, so we'll tee that up with PJ. We're tracking this news conference that is expected to start any moment now in LA. Tiger Woods in a single car crash earlier this morning, and he was rushed to hospital, not life-threatening injuries, but multiple surgeries is the report on his lower body, on his legs. And I believe the sheriff's office in L.A. or just south of L.A. County, I believe, will be giving an update at any moment. Now, when we hear something, we will keep you updated on that. And we referenced this Mike Babcock interview. He was on the Rod Peterson Show, which is a podcast out of Saskatchewan. And we're going to get the audio if we can. We'll play it. But listen, Babcock has been going on the PR tour here for a while. He worked with NBC. My understanding, just by reading the quotes here, is, you know, he's trying to explain that he's a good guy, good person. He's been miscast or he's been mislabeled. And he took a lot of heat on the way out here from people in Toronto, from players in Toronto. The Mitch Marner story was an explosive one. Chelios has been talking about it forever. Johan Franzen, Mike Medano, you've referenced them all. We all have talked about them for quite some time. There are a bunch of players that don't love Mike Babcock and have been willing to voice their issues with him in the past. But I referenced the one quote that stood out to me, that half the money was for coaching, half the money was for getting whacked here in Toronto. If he means he had a tough time, I can't imagine anything being further from the truth. He was treated like a god when he got to Toronto.
Dude, it was cruise control. He was never questioned about anything because he rolled in there and he started out, Brian, with the speech, there's going to be pain coming. And everybody, including everyone on our station, was like, oh, wow, there's pain coming. That means he's the best coach in the world and that there's going to be pain. So, because we referenced it all the time. Oh, he said there's pain coming. And we never asked him one tough question after that. Think about his whole tenure here. Did anyone except Cy in the playoffs saying, why was Patrick Marleau on the ice? Other than that, what the hell was asked of him that was anything difficult? Nothing.
He was on our show a bunch of times. I remember we pushed him on ice time for Matthews. Like, that was towards the end of his tenure, I believe.
And got, he came back and said, yeah, he was like, oh, well, you want to win or not? It's not about individual players.
But the point is, it was never disrespectful, and I don't think anyone should be. I'm not saying any coach should have to deal with that. But if he is trying to frame this as, man, that's Toronto. Like, that's what they do. They just chew you up and, you know, spit you out. That's just not true. Like, he deserved the criticism at the end because the team fell apart on his watch, and he couldn't figure it out. He deserved that. When the Marner story came out, of course people are going to be reacting to that. That's natural. That would happen in Anaheim or in Florida. Of course it's going to happen in Toronto. But what I hope he isn't planning on doing here is pretending as if Toronto, what a mess. It's just too tough. Too tough. Like, how could I possibly? I thought he was bigger than that. You know, I thought he was more than capable of dealing with it. And again, the first 3 or 4 years on the clock, he was praised and he deserved a lot of it. They made the playoffs. Like, he did a very good job. He got the praise he deserved. He didn't get hammered on a daily basis in Toronto.
And Hayes, when he got hammered, it was his own undoing. Like, you talk about a guy who was so stubborn. He didn't want to make any moves that weren't his own. If the advice from the people around him, even in the outside, he wasn't willing to listen to. You talk about the Matthews ice time. You talk about playing Matthews and Marner together.
Right.
Like, you think
what about the kid Carlo that's on defense right now?
Justin Hall didn't play him. Right?
Yeah.
Like, and look what Justin Hall's turned into. But you think if maybe he would have taken away that stubbornness and played Matthews and Marner together, he might still be the coach of this team, because look how magical that combo has been. Mm-hmm. But here's where everything went bad for Mike Babcock. Game one of the season last year, when he decided to healthy scratch Jason Spezza. Okay? Because he said he's not a good enough penalty killer. Come on. You serious? That's a
that
slap
wasn't
in the face.
That was a slap in the face, and that was a complete Mike Babcock you-know-what move, but that wasn't the beginning of the end. Excuse me. I think guys hated him before that.
Oh, for sure.
That was just another icing on the cake for him.
Yeah, it was. But you're right. It was a moment that, of course, was going to lead to a reaction, right? Like, people noticed you just signed Jason Spezza. He's from here. They were playing
Ottawa.
They were playing his former team.
Does it shock you, though, Hayes? This is the coach who had Mike Modano, one of the classiest players to ever play the game. He let him stay on 1,499 games and would not dress him, and he finished his career with 1,499. What kind of move is that for Mike Modano? Because that's what he is. That's whatever you think of that move, that's what the coach is. Figure it out. Well, it's nothing new.
And listen, he's doing his tours, and he's entitled to his own opinion and viewpoint. He's going to get back in the game. He's still a great coach. He's going to be a Hall of Fame coach.
Dude, here's what it is, Brian. I got to tell you right now. This guy is used to walking around and everyone kissing his ass because he's Mike Babcock and he's the coach of Team Canada and he's smarter than everyone else. What's going on now is he's having a difficult time with people not seeing his greatness, as people calling him out for being a jerk and a bad
a
coach
bully.
And a bad guy.
Bully.
And he can't deal with people not kissing his ass and the respect he used to get. And the way he treated everyone prior is just not happening anymore because no one's going to let it. And he's having a tough time dealing with that.
Yep.
That's where it's at right now.
I think that's 100% accurate. And we have the audio here. So this is Mike Babcock. He was on the Rod Peterson Show. And talking about, you know, his own status, his own reputation, his time in Toronto. Let's hear it.
You know, when you're reaching out and you're trying to get things back, my oldest girl would always say to you, Dad, it's not what you say, it's your tone. And, you know, we've all made mistakes in our life. And you have to own everything you've done wrong. And I think that's really important. But I also think your intention is so important. You can't have the wife I have and the kids I have and the family I have without being a good human being. I don't have any problem with that whatsoever. I always said to people when I went to Toronto, I got half my salary for coaching the team and half my salary for getting whacked. You know, it's all part of what it is. The bottom line is I'm excited. I'm having a great life.
Okay. Well, again, listen, he was the highest paid coach in the history of the game. He deserved that based on leverage. The Leafs were willing to pay it. He did a great job when he got here. His first few years on the job, he did an outstanding job behind the bench. It's just if he's trying to convince me or anyone else that he got treated poorly or people were too tough on him here in Toronto or trying to feed a narrative that has always been inaccurate, is just the toughest town in the world for this hockey team. I resent that because it's just completely bogus.
Here's the one thing about Mike Babcock. Carlo, think of how many times Mike Babcock has said, oh, yeah, that guy's a good man. He's a good man. He's a good man. He's a good man. He's a good man. How many times have you ever heard one person say that about Mike Babcock? How many times? I'll tell you the answer. It's zero.
Yeah. I played for the guy in Detroit, and I've always said this to people. When it comes to coaching the game of hockey and understanding the game of hockey, he was one of the best. But you can't find many people that have good things to say about him.
No, you can't. You won't either.
Well, that's that for Mike Babcock. And listen, he's going to get back into the game. Like it's going to happen. But anyway, we're tracking this news story out of L.A. as well with Tiger Woods and his car accident earlier today. I guess the L.A. Sheriff's Office is speaking at this point. They just said there's no evidence of impairment, no effort being made to draw blood at the hospital. So take that for what it's worth. That's the most recent information. So, again, we don't have a status on how he's feeling, the surgeries, the actual injuries, the projections in terms of just standard of life, let alone actually playing again. But we'll try to keep you updated throughout the afternoon and certainly throughout the evening and into tomorrow. We're first up with Landsberg and Koliakova starting at 6 a.m. tomorrow.
Mark PJ Rowe Carlissimo. Tomorrow, the face.
Oh, Mark Rowe
TSN.
In there. Death
yes.
Rowe in there. I Death love Rowe. It. Death Rowe making an appearance.
Coming off
that.
His Australian Open little vacation that he was taking.
Yes, making things happen on TSN, as always. Confirm or Deny is brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus. Enjoy winter with great offers at Don Valley North Lexus. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com for details.
I can neither confirm or deny that that this is in fact a segment.
Boston trades Andrew Raycroft to Toronto in exchange for the rights to Tuukka Rask.
It's been my honor and a privilege to serve as the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs Hockey Club.
It's time for Confirm or Deny.
Do you regret giving all those gentlemen the no trades or no movement clauses?
I can neither confirm or deny that.
I can't confirm or deny.
All right, so you guys are both very familiar with our boy Fergie and
the Fergler.
Carla,
you're so glad you guys did. So glad you guys didn't get rid of this segment.
No, it was one of my faves. It was never going to be allowed. Like, I know, I was pushing for that for about 5 minutes. It just wasn't a possibility. It had to remain in the rotation, and it's standalone. Not only is it still a part of the show, it's a standalone, and thanks to our friends at Don Valley North Lexus for that. You know how to play this, Carlo.
Right,
we make a statement. We either confirm it or we will deny it. Let's get cooking here. Bo Bichette, he's been in the news a lot. He wants to play short, wants to be the long-term solution at short into the future. Well, confirm or deny that Bo Bichette will still be the starting shortstop for the Jays in 2022. Confirm or deny?
I will confirm that. I will kick things off. I think last year was... And not a lot of times do you give kind of that year that was in baseball, Brian. It was so weird. It was shortened. There was COVID. I don't think you can go back to what the first eyes you put on Bo Bichette was. And he was the Derek Jeter-type figurehead player for the Blue Jays. Hitting bombs, great defense. I don't think you can go back on last year and say things have totally turned against Bo Bichette. I see him returning to the player he was when he broke on the scene. And I think it's all going to be smooth sailing for him. He's got too much pride. He knows too much about the game with his dad being on the team and a baseball lifer. I have no problems, and I can confirm that he will be the shortstop.
Hayes, I'm going to join my alumni brother here and say confirm as well, because just hearing some of the comments coming out of spring training from Charlie Montoyo, his legs look bigger, his arm looks stronger. I don't know about you guys, when I watch the Blue Jays, Bo Bichette is the most exciting player to watch. And I can't envision this team without him in the lineup. I think these are the growing pains you go through as a young player, especially playing the infield. And his bat is going to take over. It's going to be what carries him. And his defense, now that they're solidifying the infield a little bit with another year of experience, Bo Bichette's going to be the future of this team.
Yeah, I'm going to confirm it as well, because I believe he's got a passion for the position. I think that means something. More so than in baseball than any other sport. You know, like, you really have an option here in terms of you selling yourself to the manager and being comfortable. I think he will improve naturally defensively. He's got to be better. He's got to be better, but I think that will naturally happen. I also look at the marketplace. Next year, there are going to be a ton of, like, superstar high-end options at short, or potentially. I don't think the Jays are going to be in that marketplace. When they spend money – moving forward, it is simply for arms. Like, they spent their money for Springer. They're going to spend eventually on Bo and likely Vladdy and others. The money is going to be allocated elsewhere. I don't think they're going to have the money to upgrade it short. So I think it's his job. I think he's got to solidify it this year. I think he will. I'm a big believer in Bo Bichette. We're all going to confirm that. Good start. Confirm or deny, John Tavares will finish this season with at least a point-per-game average.
I'm denying that. I think he's going to get back on track, but a point per game, I think he's – I don't think he can make up that ground, although he's not – his stats, we said it earlier, his stats aren't terrible, Hayes. They're just not John Tavares-like. But I am not ready to go full Toronto on this, Joe from the Bridge, and say, what's going on here? I'm done with this, done with Tavares. I'm not doing that. The team's in first place in the league, I believe, right now.
Yep.
I'm not doing that. I think he can get out of it and perform to a way, to a standard that's going to help the Toronto Maple Leafs win games during the season and in the playoffs. I'm not ready to go full Toronto on that.
Yeah, I'm going to deny this too, because really, I'm not expecting that from him. I don't think he needs to be a point-per-game guy, considering the production that you're getting from Matthews and Marner. I think he can be close to that, for sure. But when I look at John Tavares and his role in this team right now, he's slotted in as a second-line center. Their power play is still going to be very good. The loss of Wayne Simmonds has been, I don't know, no one's talking about that enough, but he brought real value to those top two lines when he was playing on it. I think that they're going to find a fit on that left wing. You hope Will Nylander is going to get going. And if those guys can get going, John Tavares is going to contribute. It's just a matter of time.
I'm actually going to confirm it. He's currently, he's got 17 points in 20 games. He's in a rut right now. Like, he's in a rut. I don't think this continues. And I think if you've noticed, like, they're starting to adjust the power plays a little bit. Like, I could see it getting back to a point where they load up on a first power play and he's just going to pick up cookies. Like, if you get enough minutes either coming off, you know, a 5-on-4 where you get out there with Matthews and Marner, you get out there on a power play, even if you're picking up a second assist here or there, you're not asking the world out of this guy. You know, you got 36 more games. He needs to 39 points in 36 games. I think he can do that. Like, I think that's doable. That's basically what he's been throughout his career, about a point a game guy.
Yeah, and don't kid yourself, Hayes. That top power play, that's where you get your cookies. That's where
exactly.
you get your points. If you're not there for that party, you're going to be missing out. And although Marner's and Matthews are elite and they have played elite, they're getting the majority of that first power play.
They
and that's
are.
A lot of times where the magic happens. So when you're not a part of that, you're on the outside looking in as far as racking up points.
Right, and he's going to have to rely on Nylander to pick it up too, but I think Nylander's going to hit a hot streak at some point too, where I think guys can rack up some points. And,
yeah, he better.
Yeah, of course. They both better. Like, again, big picture, we talked about it earlier. Like, if they have aspirations of 16 wins in the spring and winning a cup, those guys have got to be more than just riding shotgun. Like, they got to factor in. They got to win games. Like, there's got to be games where it's those two that won the game. Has to happen, but they're not there yet. They don't have to be there right now. Moving on here, confirm or deny, Taylor Hall's next contract will come with a cap hit of at least $7.5 million per season.
As of right now, I'm denying that. I don't think anybody would be willing to offer that. Mm-hmm. When he's on his game, I love what he brings to the table, but the whole team sucks, and he's swallowed up in it along with every other player. And it's looking like he's probably saying, what the hell was I thinking? That's a mess, man. That's, you talk about sports franchises, and the Jets are kind of the laughing stock of the NFL with what went on there. But that's a hell
Sabres
of a lot
far
of...
far behind.
Dude, that's no fun zone, man. Like, being a part of that, I can't even imagine. I don't feel bad generally because I got my own life and my own job here. But I feel bad for those guys. That's a disaster.
Skinner is a healthy scratch again tonight. Like, how do you sit him twice? You know, like, he's not a rookie. It's not like he's learning to adapt to a small rink and he's coming from the KHL. That, to me, is outrageous.
Well, but what do you think Jerry Pakula thinks of that when he's paying him the money?
I'd be going nuts. And guess what? He can pick up the phone and call the coach and say, you're going to have to take me through this one. Ralph Kruger can't hang up on him. Like, there's got to – that goes all the way up the chain. It has to. Go ahead, Carlo. Confirm or deny, 7.5 minimum for Taylor Hall.
You know what? I believe he's only getting that money if he goes back to Buffalo, because the reason why he signed in Buffalo was to play alongside an elite center iceman in Jack Eichel. And if he can't be productive there, if he hits the open market, you know, Pierre LeBrun and Darren Dreger have been talking about what this market's going to look like. Teams are not going to hand out these lottery deals anymore. So I'm going to say deny. Unless he signs back in Buffalo.
No, I'm denying it. I don't think you can bring him back to Buffalo because it hasn't worked, and you can't at that price. If you're stuck with Skinner and Oposo, you can't add another guy like Hall. I think you also got to take into the reality of his career. He'll be 30. He had an MVP season where he was outstanding. He's had another season or two where he pushed up against 80 points. For the most part, he's like a 25 to 30 goal scorer, 65-point guy. Like, that's kind of what he is. He's a really good player, but now he's on the back nine of his career with a flat cap. I'm denying. I don't think any team can look at that and suggest you. I'm not sure he gets a 7. Period. He may have to sign a longer term deal at like 6 and a half. And I'm not sure he's willing to accept that right now. But that appears to be where his future is going. Taylor Hall and their struggles.
Dave Poulin floated this out right before free agency and said if it was Taylor Hall in the market the way that it is, and you know, if it's money's not the issue with him, pull up Paul Kariya and Timo Solani and go team up with somebody on a good team where you can play on a top line and get your confidence back.
Right. Well,
what the hell
you
do you
find
think
that.
He's doing right now? Playing with a donkey? Like, anyway.
Playing on a good team?
But they're awful. That's the thing. And he took the money. Clearly, he got $8 million. He's not playing for free. Confirm or deny, at least one of Kyle Lowry or Masai Ujiri will be back with the Raptors next season.
I'm going to deny that. And I don't like to, and I know I've been a negative Nancy on the Raps, But I just see a situation where Kyle Lowry, he might be thinking, I've been loyal to Toronto. I've been the guy there. I got a statue coming. Jersey's going up in the rafters. Maybe I want to open up a nostril or two and sniff around Philly and think about what's going on there. Because that's my hometown. I've always dreamed of it. Maybe I want to sniff in L.A.
Clippers,
with the Clips.
I could definitely see L.A.
Sometimes you just got to sniff at the end and say, you know what, I want to try this one for 1 year. When you're a home, me and Carlo did it. We got to play for the Leafs, man.
Yeah.
That's what that Lowry's got to be thinking. I just want that one chance, and maybe it's now. I love Toronto. It's all going to happen there afterwards, but I want to try this. And as far as Masai, I'm just a little worried that everybody's after this guy for interest outside of basketball. He's just one of those guys that can run so many different things on such a large scale. I'm kind of scared that he's got different interests away from the game.
Well, and here goes his team again, right? Like, look at this. After a 2-8 start, they're back. Like, he just builds winners. Go ahead, Carlo.
I'm going to say deny as well. And I just look at the stats. This team is 16-0 without Kyle Lowry, including 6-0 this season. And I don't think people recognize the fact that he's playing in Tampa this year. He is realizing what life is like away from basketball, golfing all the time, warm weather, in getting older. I think that's what really excites him. Now, as he gets older into this league,
come
he's
on,
won his championship.
Dude, he's a competitor. You
he
think
loves
golf?
To tee it up, though. He loves to tee it up.
Oh, he loves his golf.
But to make the comment, this is what excites him at this particular point in the career. That's a discredit to the competitor and the athlete.
I'm not trying to deny his competitiveness, because that's what makes him so lovable in Toronto. I'm just saying, you know, when you there comes a point in your career when you experience something different and you like it, maybe you start entertaining. Well, maybe I can play in a championship team somewhere else that can still give me this lifestyle.
Well, I'm going to confirm it, because I think Masai is still he may come back on a shorter term deal. I could see that. I could see him thinking
to wait
I want
to
keep
that
my
big opportunity to show
yeah,
up.
Yeah, keep my options open. I do want to do something different in the future, but you know, we're still here. We love it. Strange year to go out. We've been in Tampa. We're not back in Toronto due to the pandemic. And I think there's a good chance that that will work out. Lowry is a complete wild card. I'd be very intrigued by bringing him back. He can still play. He still brings
absolutely.
It. He's a legend here. The thing is, you might have to give him more than a one-year deal, which they may not be comfortable with. But I do think at least one of them. You give me an option at just one is coming back. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and confirm that. So confirm or deny. We have a couple more that we may get to a little bit later on.
Confirm or deny. After dark.
Time for one more.
Horny confirm or deny.
Confirm Love or deny it. Brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus. Lease a 2021 RX350 from just $278 biweekly. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com for all of the details. More of an update on the Tiger Woods status after he was injured in a serious car crash in L.A. earlier this morning. PJ Carlissimo on the Raptors tonight. Life without Lowry, the amount of minutes that LeBron is playing, it's outrageous what this guy's doing out there in L.A. That more coming up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, a little confirm or deny after dark later in the hour. Get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. And I guess tomorrow I've got to make my golf bets. I have a 3-pack leading into the WGC.
I love it. I think we got to keep the 3-pack, because the one guy, I mean, nobody's won, Hayes, so it's no advantage. I mean,
well,
actually,
that's not true.
I apologize.
Can I get in on this 3-pack with you guys?
Dude, this is between.
We'll talk. We'll see.
We'll talk. We didn't let the grappler in. We can't let you in.
Yeah, it's kind of. We've been going back and forth here for so long. But I think we might be. Maybe get some side action cooking or something. Maybe
Karolnik dialed in the Genesis winner with Max Holm at 75-1.
That's massive. That is massive. Man, you can make some serious cake on tour, because guys come out of the woodworks going 50-1, 55-1, 70-1. Anyway, we'll get to that later in the hour. The Raptors in action tonight. Kyle Lowry will not play. They've won 16 in a row without Kyle. So, you know, I guess I'm feeling positive about that news. I'd rather he's in the lineup, but their backup against Philly tonight. And to chat about it, we're joined now by longtime NBA coach, former assistant here in Toronto, and NBA on ESPN analyst PJ Carlissimo. What do you make of that stat, PJ, the fact the Raptors have won 16 games in a row without Kyle in the lineup?
Surprising. Yeah. Very surprising. But I'd have to look at the team. You know, for all you know, it was intelligent rest. I don't know whether it was completely, you know, how many of those were, voluntary by, the coaches looked at the schedule or Kyle did, or whether it was just happenstance. If it's happenstance, that's a remarkable stat. You're talking about investing some money. You would have made a lot of money investing on that. 16 straight without Kyle would be hard to imagine.
PJ, how do you think it plays out with Kyle? We were just discussing it earlier in the show. This season, it's been rumored that he's got the old real estate thing going where his house is sold and people are making rumblings about that. How do you think it plays out this year with Kyle?
He's one I wouldn't worry about. I mean, I can't speak for Nick and or Masai. I can't even say they'd rather say that you're not hear any of this stuff. I mean, this year is so bizarre. The league itself is so fluid. Nothing surprises me, but to me, you got to wait and see at the end of the year what it is. Who knows what the reasons are? If anybody, you're not concerned in terms of showing up with a lunch pail and what you're going to get from him on a nightly basis, Kyle would be near the top of almost any player in the league. That's one guy I wouldn't be worried. I would imagine what you're going to get from him night in and night out. So to me, that's just what they're going through is remarkable. I honestly know you guys are used to it. I know you saw it with the Jays, but I mean, this year, they go to the second round last year. It's a short off season. They come back. They're told they can't play there. They're in a makeshift practice facility. They're all away from home. I would imagine that I don't know at all. A number of them are away from their families. To not have a home game, to not be able to get back to it, doesn't matter whether there's people in the stands or not. I keep forgetting the name of it. Is it Scotiabank Arena?
Scotiabank now, yeah.
Okay, at least I got the name right. But it's incredible that the things they have to deal with, particularly in comparison to the other 29 teams. I mean, it's absolutely amazing to not. I know, I'm sure it took guys a while, to be honest with you, because the off season was so short, and it was up in the air a little bit. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe we all could speculate that the government wasn't going to change, and this would be the inevitable result. But when, I know as much homework as Masai and his people could have done. There was still some uncertainty. And then you got particularly the older guys, the guys with the wherewithal to do it, are looking for homes down there, trying to get settled. They're throwing together this season, which is like any other season we've had. You got more games in a closer amount of time, more back-to-backs, more 3-4s, all the crazy things they're dealing with. And to not be able to get home at some point to a real home is remarkable. It honestly is. I'm super impressed with. I was not surprised at all with the struggles early. I know different reasons, different guys out. Pascal, not playing the way we're used to seeing him play early, and then now he gets it together. I haven't seen the team as much as I would like, as much as I'm going to, because I didn't have him in the first half. I had a lot of college games. I've only done 6 NBA games, and I haven't had the Raptors. I will have them a bunch I'm sure the schedule's out, at least the TV and radio people, our bosses are looking at it, but I know I'll have them a bunch later on and in the playoffs. But I've honestly been really impressed with the way they've come together, with the level they're playing at right now, and I'm certain that nobody can imagine how difficult what they're going through right now is. I mean, just the things they're dealing with. This isn't like the bubble. This isn't like a controlled situation where the 22 teams are all doing the exact same thing. They're all living next to each other, and everybody's kind of on square foot. Even in that one, the Raptors had to go down a week or two earlier to Fort Myers or wherever it was.
Right.
So, I mean, it's really incredible what they're dealing with. I'm really impressed with Nick and the team, what they've done so far. Particularly now, they're playing, would seem the best they've played all year, and really good wins against some really good teams. So I'd be encouraged if I'm a Raptors fan, but I would really be appreciative of what they're going through and the way they're handling it.
Yeah, no, they've been outstanding. They just went into Milwaukee and beat them on Tuesday and Thursday night. Kind of guts. They gutted out a win against Minnesota on a back-to-back, and then they did what they did to Philly a couple of nights ago, and they got Philly again tonight.
If they get Philly again, if you beat back-to-back Philly
statement.
And back-to-back Milwaukee, that's pretty strong.
That's a big statement. Big statement.
No,
I can tell you what's
question.
Been most consistent is Fred VanVleet. Like they're every guy on this roster has had ups and downs. You know, Norman Powell is one of the most inconsistent players in the league anyway, but when he's hot, you know, he can be a stud for you. When he's not, he's someone that you can't even put on the floor. Siakam has had his ups and downs. VanVleet has just been consistent and has been a rock star for this team. He has been absolutely outstanding.
And really, you would have said coming in, well, can you expect VanVleet to be as good as he was last year? I mean, come on.
He's been better.
If I was preseason, I'd say, come on, guys. Be happy he's there. He's going to play really well. Don't ask him to be better than he was last year. And sure enough, he is, or has been so far, which is very surprising.
Well, and their front court has been probably the most talked about position, which I'm sure wouldn't surprise you, PJ. I mean, Gasol moves on. They move on from Ibaka. And basically, if they're not playing small, which I think they'd be prone to do, they won't do it tonight with Embiid, but they prefer probably to play, you know, Pascal/OG up front and then move Powell into the starting lineup and go from there. They're basically looking at Aaron Baines and Chris Boucher, who could not be more opposite players at that position. Like, Baines is your standard meat and potatoes big that'll set a screen and give you fouls and battle for rebounds. And Chris Boucher is about 125 pounds, who is actually working on his outside shot and has been very effective.
Working on it. I can't believe how many threes he's taken.
It's lights out.
Well, it was interesting. I went back and looked at his JC numbers because he didn't do it as much for Dana. I was covering the game when he was injured and spoke to him the next day in Las Vegas when he had the injury his senior year and, you know, was told he couldn't play. And I think it was right before the finals. He missed one or two games in the tournament and then was not going to be able to play in the NCAA tournament. And, you know, senior, you're going to get drafted. What's going on? And, you know, Dana asked me to – I'm sure he wouldn't remember – maybe he does. I don't know. I never asked Chris. But, you know, Dana said, hey, tell him this isn't the end of the world. The teams have seen him. They're aware of him. He's still going to get an opportunity. I was really happy when he even made the roster and he's going back and forth between Santa Cruz and Golden State. And then to end up in Toronto, and all of a sudden I'm looking and he's taking threes. And I looked at the numbers. I said, I can't believe he took this many threes. And sure enough, I go back and look at when he was more so when he was junior college before he got to Oregon, he did that. It was not something I knew he had, to be honest with you. And he's obviously playing very well. And I'm not sure I'm not sure he weighs 125.
No,
to be honest with you,
it's true.
Might be less. Is that a Canadian number? Is that a different kind of pound? Canadian pounds.
That's right. That's right. And yet, you know, it's working for him. We're chatting with PJ Carlissimo. Go ahead, Carlo.
And it's not just the threes, it's the way he's playing defense. He's got that Dikembe Mutombo look to him where he's that real.
Well, that doesn't surprise – Carlo, I'm with you. That doesn't surprise me. I expect Chris to be a factor, to be blocking shots, and to be active on the glass. But, you know, if you said to me before the year, he's taken over 100 already threes, and not just taking them. Obviously, he's making them at a good – Nick's not going to be sitting there with him jacking up threes if they're not going in. And
right.
They're going in, which is fantastic. I'm really impressed and, frankly, really happy for him. He's a guy I always pull for just because of, you know, having seen what I did. 45% is good for anybody.
No kidding.
You know, that's great for a guy that doesn't have a history of shooting very many threes since he's been in the NBA.
Well, PJ, you talked about your history. You've coached in the league. We've seen what this Raptors transformation has been. You know, from 2 years removed from being the NBA champions, they lose five key players from their lineup in 2 years. And now, over the offseason, they lose Nate Bjorkgren to the Indiana Pacers. And midseason, they lose another assistant coach, Chris Finch, in a surprise move where Minnesota fires their coach and they hire somebody off the Raptors staff. But have you ever seen that as a coach? How does a coaching staff adjust to a coach leaving midseason?
Well, it's a concern. There's no question about it, and particularly somebody that was, you know, a big part of what they did. But, again, I think Nick, he's got some other good guys. There's no, I mean, I've known Chris an awful long time. He's accomplished a lot, especially internationally, and you know the things he's done, not just in the league alone, but that staff is a very good staff. I mean, I'm, you know, prejudiced to one. I mean, we recruited Adrian, and he played for us at Seton Hall before I left. I've known Sergio forever, Jimmy, 6'9", John. You know, I mean, all those guys, Jama, they're all good friends. So, yeah, they'll get together. Are they going to miss him? Of course they're going to miss him. You don't have a guy that talented leave and just, you know, not miss a beat. But I do think that there's a lot of talent on that staff, and I do think that they'll, you know, they'll be able to make up for it. But it's a loss. There's no question.
Want to ask you about LeBron James, and with Anthony Davis going down, you knew he was going to have to, you know, take on even more minutes and even more of the responsibility with that team. But I saw a stat this morning that he is averaging more minutes per game than any player in the NBA this month. It's just crazy with how long he's been in the league, how many minutes he's racked up anyway, and what he continues to do. And I appreciate that LeBron came out and basically shut that down. He's like, I don't want to hear it. Don't ask me about it. I'm here to play. I get paid to play, and I'm going to play. But, of course, it's a conversation outside of that room, and I would think the coaching staff has to take it pretty seriously as well. I mean, how do you see this playing out with LeBron, who I think we just take for granted that he's just keep plugging along and being the best player in the world?
You know, the thing that I've come to appreciate with him, I did one of their games with one or two games ago. I've lost track, to be honest with you. I just had them, I think, two games ago. And I'm looking at it, and I'm saying LeBron is paying, by his standards, less minutes than he normally plays. We're talking about Chris shooting way more threes than he's ever shot. I mean, it used to be if you had him take a three, you'd say, thank you. You know, like, we want that. At that point, he was over. He slipped a little bit since then, and that may have something to do with the minutes. But he was shooting 41%. He was shooting more threes and less free throws because he, you know, was kind of going the way that some of the veteran guys have come in the league. MJ in particular, later in his career, was tired of going in and getting knocked down, you know, and all of a sudden, became a better perimeter shooter, and B was more reliant on it. Now, still, when it was a big possession late in the game, he wasn't going to jack a shot. He was going to go to the rim and, you know, earn another trip to the free throw line. But LeBron's shooting less free throws, more threes, playing less minutes, and shooting at a higher percentage than he's ever shot from the three-point line. But he's not a human being. He's ridiculous. His body is so strong. He still doesn't get called. I mean, I cried all the time when we coached against him, but he doesn't get all the calls he would get because, like, guys follow him and there's no reaction. Like, you don't move him sideways. You know, you don't necessarily knock him down. Like, they bounce off him. Same thing used to be with Shaq. Shaq was one of the hardest guys when he was playing in the league to officiate. And, you know, it's Jimmy Brown playing football in the old days. I mean, guys are bouncing off him, and nobody takes better care of their body. If I was Frank Vogel, yeah, I'd be very concerned, and I'd be having conversations. I mean, conversations with LeBron don't always work. I'm sure he's saying, yeah, when AD gets back and somebody else can pick up the load, I don't want us to drop too much in the standing, so I'll do what I got to do till he gets back. If everybody in the league had LeBron's work ethic and dedication to winning and taking care of his body, it'd be a very easy league to coach in. I'm not saying it's brain surgery, but when you have guys like him or Kyle Lowry for that matter, it's a lot of fun to coach.
Well, it's always great to catch up with you. We'll do it again down the road. Be well, and thank you for this, PJ. We appreciate it.
Great being with you guys. See you, Brian, Jeff, Carlo, everybody. Thanks, PJ.
You got it. There he is, PJ Carlissimo from ESPN and longtime coach, former assistant coach here in Toronto, and famous for going out for dinner 365 days a year, every single night.
I did that for 12 years.
Yeah. Wear that like a badge of honor. It's such an outstanding call.
Can't you wait to just go do it again?
Yeah. I can't wait to do that.
Oh, I can. I'll go on a tear, man. Yes. I'll go on a restaurant tear. I mean, that's the only thing you got when you get to my age. Me and my wife, we like to go out for dinner. We do it two or three times a week.
Yeah. I just want to smash a nice sushi bar.
Oh, man. Like where you sit at the sushi bar and you
keep bringing it.
Feed me. Yes. Just put a sign on your forehead. Feed me now.
Can't wait,
sushi.
Man.
Yeah, I could open up my app like a seagull and just tell him to throw the tuna in from back there. Mm-hmm. Like, just throw the
Randy
throw the
Johnson,
tuna in there.
Yeah. 99 on the gun, square down your gullet. And
the Toro. Throw the Toro down the chute, sir.
Yes. Yeah.
Feel it. Feel
Whoa.
It.
Whoa.
We'll get your best bets brought to you by ProLine. A little confirmer than I after dark. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. I'm on the under in the Buffalo-New Jersey game tonight. I think the Habs, not a must win, but they're inspired. They got to get one against Ottawa tonight. I'll take it. And I think Vancouver's been playing better. They're at home against Edmonton tonight. I'll take the Canucks. They're paying $1.90. Throw down 20, you can score 90. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. ProLine is the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, put your knowledge on the line.
Dude, you got to explain that one. Yeah, you got to explain that one to me. The Oilers are on fire. McDavid is like lights out, and I don't know.
Well, at least we're the exact same. At least we're the exact same going into last night. Matthews, the Leafs on fire. Blah blah blah. Calgary needed that. I think Vancouver has been playing better.
Like Coco, what do you think about what he just said?
I got to go with Edmonton. You got to ride the rush there with those two big guns, McDavid and Draisaitl, right now.
Good players. Good players.
But like Hayes said, I mean,
Vancouver at home paying $1.90. Yeah. It's not odds. Like Edmonton's, you know, the 85 Oilers. They're a good team. Yeah. So I'll ride it. I'm on Vancouver tonight. All right, so confirm or deny after dark. We've never done that. Never done that before. But we figured why not? We got a couple more, you know, kind of just a couple of loose bullets here.
It's
in
an alumni special today.
The alumni special.
If you neither confirm or deny that.
I like it. You've got the little lapel going on there too. Is that a pin or a maple leaf pin on your jacket there,
yeah,
Coco?
I got a pin too. I just don't have it on today.
Okay. All right. All the alumni get pins. Yeah. Okay. Confirm or deny. The WGC is coming up. World Golf Challenge, our championship up this weekend at Concession, which is a weird, goofy name for a golf course. Mm-hmm. But we had Jerry Foltz on earlier. He said this may be like the toughest course you could play on tour if they set it up that way.
Yeah.
And I hope they do. I love when you see guys kind of really grinding for wins back-to-back weeks. Riviera was tough. This will be tough. Confirm or deny, Tony Finau will finish top five at this weekend's WGC Workday Championship.
I'm going to confirm it. What does this guy do? We talked about this guy's failure to be able to close it, but this guy throws probably $750,000 in his jeans every single week and tees it up.
Yep.
Every the week. Hell does he care? I mean, yeah, obviously, you want to – I don't think he's quite at, like, just a trophy chaser out there. $750,000 in his jeans every week. I think he's doing okay. He's almost an automatic top five or top ten player.
Every week he plays like that.
Yeah.
I'm going to confirm it, too. I mean, you just talked about his statistics. Why not? Ride the guy that's playing good golf. And I got to ask you guys, would you rather be a top five guy every tournament or win a tournament every once in a while? Be the top five guy. You can probably make the same amount of money.
More.
Yeah, you make more. Top five, you make more. And we're talking big tournaments. Like the Genesis and this week, they're like massive purse.
Pebble,
massive
he was purses. Top five.
Yep, he's every all the time. Yeah. He's top five or top ten. He's making a fortune now. I don't know what that means for exemptions. Like he's top ten in the world, I believe right now. He should be, but like at some point you got to win to make sure you stay in tournaments. I think long term, so he's going to have to get one. But I'm going to confirm it. I wouldn't be shocked if he won this weekend. I look at it glass half full. I think he's knocking on the door. I think he's going to run right through it at some point.
You know why he could win, Hayes? You know why he could, Hayes? You know why he could win? Sometimes when you experience the and he's kind of good at it, but that disappointment, maybe he just takes a deep breath and says, screw this, man.
Let's
Who
go.
Cares what happens this weekend? Let's go. Mm-hmm. Yep. And he dials it in and smokes everybody.
I'm thinking that might be the case. I'll let you know tomorrow. confirm or deny, all seven Canadian coaches currently will still be behind their respective benches to start next season.
I don't even want to hear the end of the question. It's deny. There's too much changeover. Somebody's going to be pissed off. Deny, not happening.
So the question is, all seven coaches will return next
year?
Yes,
like whoever's behind a bench right now in the seven Canadian cities will start the year behind a bench in their respective towns.
I'm going to confirm this just because you talk about financials for teams and stuff like that. You know, you're already losing money paying the players. Are they really going to lose more money firing coaches and hiring new ones? I don't see anybody getting fired in this Canadian division.
Yeah, I think Jeff Ward could be in trouble, but he just got the gig, you know, officially this year. Mm-hmm. I think Travis Green might have been, but I think they're going to bring him back. I think he deserves more of a kick at the can as well. And, you know, DJ Smith is coming back. Keefe is coming back. Maurice and Winnipeg are in a good spot. Like, I'm going to confirm it too. Yeah, Tippett's in a good spot. I'm going to confirm it. There you have it. Confirm or deny after dark. Love it.
Nice.
Love it. First up tomorrow.
There's always room for one more.
Horny.
Confirm or deny.
I can neither confirm or deny that.
Yes, we can. We can't confirm that one.
Special birthday one for you.
Yes, there it is. Every morning with Landsberg and Koliakova, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on TSN Radio. So go sleep for a few hours, and you're back on the air tomorrow. It's like a radiothon you're on right now. I love it.
We love it. Raptor game now. Going to watch the Raptors. Oh, I love being out with you boys, man.
All right, buddy. We'll do it again soon.
Look forward to the next time, guys.
You got it. Raptors in action tonight. Enjoy that. Enjoy your evenings. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
we'll chat then.
Mic malfunction? What's going on over there?
Wanted no piece of it.
Oh, my God. My mic wasn't on. Sorry.
Figure it out.